What does this term apostolic really mean? Because we have said we are an apostolic people. Does that mean that every last person amongst us is fully in apostolic grace? I can't be sure of that, but I know the church as a whole was brought on a great journey into apostolic grace, but what is it? And how is it different from what we've known before? This is a hard thing to explain, and I'm going to try and give you a way to get your head around it, which once you do, you'll not lose it. It's very important that we understand what it means to be apostolic and what the term means. May I say this, please? And I'm saying this for our audience all over the world because a lot of people get these tapes. There are a lot of events in this world advertised. Now get your head around this. A lot of events in this world are advertised, church events I mean, as being apostolic and prophetic. An apostolic and prophetic conference. And that terminology has got nothing to do with what it means to be apostolic. Let me explain the difference. When those terms are commonly used like that, it's simply referring to perhaps apostles and prophets are there and going to teach and minister. And perhaps the people going are keen to learn more about apostles and prophets or be ministered to by them. But that doesn't mean that any of the people speaking have really understood what it means to be apostolic. And I don't mean to be nitpicking, but this must be understood. There are networks. When you don't have a denomination and you've got a gathering of churches, it's known as a network. And some of these have come to be known as prophetic networks or apostolic networks, but they're not. They're many denominations. What's the difference? That I'm going to try and define. This term, apostolic, is so important that it has to be used exclusively. Let me show you what I mean. In the Nicene Creed, we show six slides here whenever we put the Nicene Creed up and read through it. On the sixth slide, we find a statement made by the Nicene Fathers, the people who met, huge number of people, bishops of the church met, and in the year 325 AD came up with this statement. And I'm just going to show you slide six. Everybody take a look at this. Now, you've often read it. There are five previous slides, but finally, in it, you get to this statement that's on the top of the list here. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. It says four things. We believe the church is one, the church is holy, the church is universal, and the church is apostolic. Notice it doesn't say we believe in one holy, universal, apostolic, and prophetic church. When we talk about people having a prophetic gift or going out with a prophetic purpose, that's not saying the same thing as going out with an apostolic purpose. In other words, the terms are not alternatives. Or, to put another way, the terms are not describing two different things of equal rank, if you like, in the body of Christ. Because when we use this term, we're not talking about an individual. Yes, the church needs apostles, needs prophets, needs teachers, and as individuals, they're equal in Christ and they're all equally important. We must have prophets, teachers, pastors, just as much as we must have apostles. But when we talk about the need to be an apostolic people, as against when we talk about the need to be a prophetic people, these are not equal terms. When we talk about the need to be a prophetic people, we are talking about the need to be gifted in a certain way, to move in certain functions. But when we talk about the need to be an apostolic people, this is a totally different thing. It's not talking about giftedness or function. Instead, it is talking about the kind of life the church is meant to have, the kind of relationships it's meant to function in, and the kind of values out of which we operate when we do everything, whether it's prophecy, teaching, or the like. There must be a certain kind of heart, certain kind of values, certain kind of relationships. There must be a certain kind of order, a certain kind of grace and life in the church, or it's not apostolic. And when you come to understand what the term apostolic actually means, it actually has everything to do with what the faith is itself. This is why it can be a little harder to explain. Nevertheless, that statement that's now disappeared, but will come back, I'm sure, if we ask it to. Oh, look at that. Nevertheless, we have this statement where a very, very large number of people that were closer to the original source of this than we are ourselves and had spent a very, very long time really understanding the languages used and the scrolls and all the early truths that have been so well established and sought out and the heresies that have been fought over and kicked out, they finally made this statement. Therefore, the term is important enough that it comes into a statement like this, along with everything they believe about Jesus and God the Father and the Scriptures and the resurrection and life to come. They include this word that says the real church of Jesus Christ, not only will it, in its dynamic nature, be only one church in the entire world. This is not one organization, but this is one mystical body of which Jesus Christ is the head. No man on earth is the head of the mystical body of Jesus. There is a man in heaven who is the head. His name is Jesus Christ. It's a mistake to think that any man serving on the earth at any given time is the head of the church. No, that's a wrong terminology, because the body of Christ is a mystical body and does not and cannot subsist in an organization. Even though we endeavor, we must be organized, and we use organizations, and historically a lot of the big organizations were denominations, but they don't have to be denominations. We organize ourselves, we end up with some institutions, but no institution is itself the mystical body of Christ. It's something much, much bigger. And we'll include all of the people who are in Christ, but he is the head. But that true body, the mystical body of Christ on earth, visible and invisible, I should say, because it's not only that which is still in the body, but that which is alive but has gone to be with the Lord. This great cloud of witnesses the Bible talks about, all still part and parcel with us of this mystical body, but we are serving here on earth, and we are described as this, as being one and holy and universal and apostolic. That term universal is simply a modern translation of what was originally the term Catholic, because none of it was written in English anyway. This wasn't written in English, so the word Catholic wasn't used either. But it's one holy and Catholic and apostolic church. So Catholic means everyone who is in Christ. It's universal. This is the mystical body of our Lord Jesus. And we are part of that body. If you're in the faith, if you're in the Lord, if your sins have been forgiven, you're part of that body. Not only do we recognize that that body is holy under God and made holy by the sanctification of the Spirit, and that we all belong to one another, but somehow this true body of Christ has about it a quality, or is meant to have about it a quality that is called apostolic. What is that quality? And from what does it derive? This is your big question. Because if we're sending out people to preach, as we do, father-son relationship in the church and in the ministry, if we send people out to preach the spirit of sonship, the values of sonship, we send them out to teach holy community, how we can be a people of one heart, one mind. Why do we do that? We do that because that is the practical and spiritual outworking of what it means to be apostolic. But if you take away the apostolic life, the apostolic grace, the real meaning of what it is to be apostolic, those things end up just religious systems by which you try and run your organization, instead of it being the real relational dynamic full of love that brings about a greater grace that it's meant to be.